Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Dan Farley.
Hi!
Soon to be Reggie Parker as well.
Yes!
We're in the George Street Co-op every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Little workshop happens here with the comics. Every now and then some audience shows up.
Yeah.
Mostly we're telling jokes to each other. I drove by a place called Roxy and Dukes in Middlesex, New Jersey.
Yes.
And, you know, me and Danny Braff are looking for venues. Me and Danny Braff are going to start a show. And I drove by and I pulled over. I texted Danny Braff, you got to check out this place, Roxy and Dukes. And he goes, oh, no. Dan Farley and Reggie Parker.
No, I don't run it. I don't do anything. I do the show.
Who runs that?
Tommy Brennan.
I met him. Does he do that?
Yeah.
Does he do other stuff?
No, he does some stuff around town and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's that. And then they do, like, one of his girlfriend is a burlesque dancer that he met through that.
Right. That's
what it is. It's Tits and Giggles, it's called.
Oh.
We do it the third Thursday of every month. But I do believe the place is closing.
It's closing?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, so I think the last one is going to be December 2nd, something like that.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I used to do a show in New Orleans called Comic Strip. It still goes on. It used to be at a place called Siberia, but the bar got bought, and now I don't know what the thing is, but Comic Strip is there every Monday.
Oh, that's cool. Is it the same thing? Like,
yeah, it's like three comics, burlesque dancer. Three comics, burlesque dancer.
Yeah, basically how it goes, except it's less comics.
Why are they closing? What happened?
I don't know. I think, I don't know if it's financially viable? I don't know what it is. Like, it's something. It's either that they... I mean, they run... It's never really like, packed when we go there when we have a show. But then... I don't know why it's closing. Maybe he's just tired. Maybe he just doesn't want to do it anymore. Mm. So, I heard that they sold it. Then I heard that they didn't sell it. I don't know. But it's a cool place.
It looks like a great venue.
Yeah, they have a huge stage.
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
enormous. And then it could fit... So, because they have, like, so many cabaret tables.
Yeah.
That you could fit, like... Like 100 people, easy.
Now, cabaret is a dying art, but you know, if you got a big venue like that, I mean, you got to solicit acts and do door deals.
Oh,
And you got to really be on the pulse of like who is up and coming so that they draw the crowd and then everything's cool.
This one, it was fucked up. We did it on Thursday night. This past Thursday.
Yeah.
And this one burlesque dancer, she didn't really, first of all, her first act was that she went, I can't even remember her name. Hollyween was her name. And, she was nice, but she got up dressed in one of those shark outfits from like the Katy Perry set halftime.
Okay, play. Yeah.
She danced to that, to Sharply Dressed Man, but every time it said sharply, she just replaced it with shark. Like, it's really just the guy going, shark.
Did she remove any clothing?
No, she was wearing clothes over the shark, but then would take it off and then just be the shark. And then afterwards, she came out in an R2-D2 onesie. And then she had, like, plates, like, two on her breasts and one on her crotch. And she just came out with a buzzsaw and was just like, like, to herself.
Oh,
and sparks
yeah.
were, like, going out into the crowd.
Okay.
It was so funny. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is amazing.
Man, that's hot.
Yeah,
that's hot.
It's hot to say the least.
So when did you start doing stand-up?
2000. It's almost been about exactly 10 years. So November of 2009.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Jersey? You've lived in Jersey?
I lived in Jersey, and then, you know, I've done New York and everything like that and travel across. I've done things in Toronto and Chicago and Miami.
Like festivals?
No, some are just like bar shows that I like hit people up. I sent them a tape, and then
you
get hooked up. But I haven't done one of those in a while. Yeah.
Like, do like a travel. Like,
yeah, because I was going there anyway.
Right.
And then I would get, you know, $50 or whatever. I'd be like, all right, let's do this. And Chicago was the best. It was the funnest. Because then Chicago is so much more like New York where you could just run around and do different shows.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Oh,
yeah, so it's been about 10 years. About that, yeah.
Would you have a goal or are you just having fun doing it?
I would just love to have enough money to just do that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's funny. I don't even care. I don't have to live extravagantly.
Yeah.
Just that. That's fine.
Just being.
Like, writing jokes and then go up and tell them and then getting enough money to just do that. To just live off comedy. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I don't care about famous or anything like that. I'm too old.
Yeah, man. It just seems like just going around doing. If I got to a level to like just do all the clubs in the country, I would be so happy.
Oh, I'd be
just
so thrilled.
Do Yuck Yucks, then go to Bananas and this and that.
I just run around doing different, like, It's like, how many stories would I have? Like, about, like, because I just, yeah. I want to be sitting in my hotel room. I'm going to do something.
Right,
like,
right, yeah. right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some comics out there. Like, I see some people's acts, and then I see their tour schedule, and I'm like, what is
How is this
on?
Possible?
How is this possible?
Yeah, I know. I see that, too. One of them specifically, I'm not going to mention him on the air, but one of them, I'm like, how does he work? Like, I don't understand. I've never even seen him get a laugh.
Blows my mind. Like, blows my mind.
Makes me sick.
And then I shot my own special. I put it in for festivals. I'm waiting to hear back from festivals right now. And I'm like going, like every morning I wake up and I check that first thing
yeah,
to see
absolutely.
If, because I've applied to four, one of them being Sundance, and I hear back in a week.
Nice.
And I might not get in.
Yeah, that's
And
worse.
So it's like, what is the trajectory of my entire life? And every morning I check it.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah. This piece of shit's playing bananas.
Yeah.
I want to mention his name so bad. Because I've seen, like, the way he got famous was he put out a viral video. And it was just him running out because his wife told him to get some groceries.
Oh, I know what this is. Yes, I know that.
And like,
I opened for that guy.
Huh?
I opened for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great guy. Great guy.
Yeah, nice.
I can't believe that 4-second video.
Yeah.
Then I'm looking. He's playing bananas. He's doing this. He's got.
He wasn't what I was thinking of. He was actually kind because he was one of those dudes that never got a break, uh-huh. and then that was the break.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then he went out, and then. So he had material already.
He was doing it for a while.
He was doing it for a while.
Oh,
so he had
okay.
stuff like, so it was like, you just never heard of him.
Right.
And then he went out and then he did it. This other guy, I'm like, huh? Like, he's just friends with a guy that I
right.
That's famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
It is. The nepotism works in every single direction.
Yeah, and I sit there and shit on it, but in a second I would love for someone to do that to me.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine also, like, I think I have this great sense lately that the billionaires that have got their finances from financial means, who have done crimes to do so, yada, 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 if they're not arrested and their assets seized and given to the poor people, like very soon the money floats to the top and they're all complete creeps.
Yeah, always.
Do you see the Prince Andrew interview on the BBC?
No.
Oh my God.
I saw a highlight on like online, like
have
on
you
Twitter or something.
Have
like
you
that.
Seen him with the picture with him and that young girl?
Yeah.
With Jazay Maxwell
yeah.
behind him. They were like, is that you in the photograph? He's like, it's not clear. Well, clearly it's me. It's not clear if it's a, but it's a photograph of a photograph. So it's very hard to sort. Is that you? Oh, well, it's me in the photo. But I never went, the reason why I know it's not me is we were just downstairs. That photo was taken upstairs. So that's you.
So what you're saying is,
how do you know what, my big thing, I'm screaming at my TV, how do you know what upstairs looks like?
Yeah.
How do you know what upstairs looks like?
Like so it's you.
So it's you,
yeah, so it's you.
And clearly that's teenager funny. With your, and so it's like, and then it's like now, The British royal family has relieved him of his duties. What is he doing?
Like,
waving out a
yeah,
window?
Yeah, he did shit anyway.
Like what is his schedule?
Nothing, yeah.
So we're having tea and then we're shooting poor people later.
Yeah. Like, and then eating them.
Yeah, right? And so now it's like, boy, I bet the royals have a lot of money. So that that should be like a fourth of the British royal family's money is now seized.
Yeah.
And now he's in jail. And now the poor people... They go up an iota.
Just
you
like
know?
One notch. What he goes to the bottom, everyone goes up.
I just
one.
Think that if this is not happening in our society, it's...
Yeah, that's tough, though, because you're dealing with the royal family. They're untouchable, really. Like, they could do anything.
They could be put in a wood chipper very easily.
Oh, yeah. We have a weak, yeah.
They're weak.
I understand.
Yeah, you know.
They're frail. They're inbred.
Yeah.
All their blood are blue.
It's just the gears would get stuck on their heart, on their cold,
their steel
ice
heart.
Kink.
They're steel,
but hard. Yes, they're very soft and they're very.
Yeah,
I
don't. I don't get that. It's like, it's like the lottery of just being born into it. You're like, all right, I guess.
So racism is bad.
Yes.
Okay. Right. They have perfect blood.
Yes.
Okay. So racism is bad, and they. Okay. So let me just point. They have perfect blood, though.
Perfect blood.
Okay, and racism is bad. I don't understand.
I don't understand how this works.
Yeah. So
yeah. Who knows with that? Because that's centuries and centuries of inbreeding and ugh.
I mean, can you imagine like just an invoice comes from the Lolita Express to the British royal family, and then The royal accountant is like, oh, how much? $1.4 billion for young pussy. And here's the check. And
stamp it. I don't know. I don't get any of that shit like that. Like, how does it go so far that you're just not like, why don't we just kill them?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, I don't understand.
And then Bill Clinton, it's like everyone knows he was on the plane 27 times, not arrested. It's just like my thing
well,
is.
Well, Epstein killed himself.
Oh, yeah. The only one who thinks that is Prince Andrew.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Reggie Parker.
Reggie Bell Parker. Hey. What's going on?
Hey, why don't you sit right here if you get a chance?
What's up, man?
Chris Hansen? Chris Hansen. why don't you have a nice tea? Oh, interesting.
Oh.
I see you brought beer.
Hey.
There's beer.
And this text, do you have condoms? Do you have flavored condoms that you said you were going to bring?
Talk about
text messages.
I was so upset. Like it might be the best purchase I've made in a very long time for myself. I bought a flask, and like I was like, yo, why am I just not a flask guy? I should always just have a flask. And I filled it up right before I came here, specifically for this mic. Left it on my fucking nightstand. I was like, damn it! I got to the train. I was like, fuck me! I can't go back now.
Dude, I realized yesterday, like, oh, I might have a problem with booze, you know?
Yeah.
I realized that 100 times.
Yeah.
But last night, dude, so I make all this tip money. I go home and, you know, I go, oh, you know what? Let me put some gas. Okay, let me buy booze first, then I'll put gas. Right? So I have this wad of cash in my fucking wallet. Then I'm like, well, what should I get? Should I get this or that or this or that? Okay, let me get... So I got 9, you know the Miller Lights with the screw top? That
yeah.
Like extra?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I knew I had 3 of those at the house.
Okay.
I bought 9. I'm going, I'll be good for 2 days.
Yeah.
I drank all of it. So I not only did I drink the 9, but I drank the 3 at home. And then it's like, what am I doing?
I'll do that.
And I
yeah, exactly. You're talking the wrong.
I didn't put a dollar of gas in my fucking. I didn't buy a rotisserie. I could have bought a rotisserie chicken.
Not
had a nutritious meal.
If that's the story, you're
fine. Yeah, don't worry about it. Like I'll sit there, and this is just like on a random Tuesday. Like I'll go home, and be like, yeah, I kind of want to drink, but I kind of don't want to do anything. So I'll like turn on The Sopranos, and I'll get a bottle, and it's like a handle of vodka or something like that. And then like usually like my pace is like I'll sometimes I'll drink like half the handle and I'll be like, oh, that's nothing. But then some days I wake up and I'm like, oh, there's like 4 drops left in this. And I drank all of it in one night. Oh, thank you, sir.
You drank a handle of vodka while watching The Sopranos?
Or whatever I did. Like, whatever I'm watching.
I'm binge watching.
Oh, look at you.
I'm binge drinking. I'm binge
exactly. I binge everything. Binge I'm binging all over.
Oh,
yeah, I do want to
catch
up. I got
to get my shit together.
Oh, it's good, man. It's good. It's good stuff. It's like, have you seen The Mandalorian?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's good. You know, are you a Star Wars guy or no?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you're probably not. But it's like a Western.
I don't know anything about this.
It's like a straight Western.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like what the second episode of it, no one speaks for like 20 minutes. Like in the beginning of it. They're just like walking and then people fight and then they...
Damn.
Mm. The champagne of beers.
True.
Welcome, everybody, to the champagne cocktail hour.
Anyway. So Reggie, you got some drinking problems? I mean,
he's got a strip club beer koozie.
Oh no, he's doing fine. He's good. I feel like because I don't have kids, like
I don't give a fuck. That's exactly my point.
Really,
it's like I'm not married. I don't have any kids. It's like what the fuck? What's it matter if I sit here on a Tuesday night and get fucked up? I'm not going anywhere. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm sitting here watching The Sopranos.
Yeah, I'm married, so I had to like scale it back a little.
Oh, you are married. Okay, you got some. See, I don't got no girlfriend. I got nothing right now, so I'm just like
Reggie. What'd you get married? August?
September.
Oh yeah. September 7th.
Congratulations.
I mean, like, I remember tip money, so it sounds like maybe a bar game or something like that. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what you do for a living.
Oh, yeah, I Lyft and Uber driver.
Oh, okay. Right. Cool. Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
How's that?
It's rough, man. I get, like, road rage.
Yeah.
And,
it's like I have Tourette syndrome. Like, I say, like, a lot of, really choice words, like, after I drop people off.
Of course.
It's just like... But if I don't do that, I got to release it, you know?
Yeah.
And just like people, like a guy ran me off the road the other day.
What?
Like for no reason. So I followed him. I said this on the 2 podcasts ago, but he just ran me off the road and then he goes and he takes his he goes with his family to TGI Fridays. I went up, I dropped off a passenger. I went around and then I'm like stalking him and I'm like watching. And then his wife gets out of the car and because I was like, I'm going to knock this motherfucker out.
Yeah, of course. Just killed me.
Yeah, and then, like, for no, for nothing.
Yeah.
And then he goes in the back, and then he takes his 2-year-old, and I'm just like,
oh. You did this with a 2-year-old in the car?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, he's just going, fuck you, like, for no reason, to where I went in the gravel in the shoulder.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, but then, like, I was, I don't know. Just, like, he was here, then he went like this, fuck you. And then goes up like 100 yards, like a football field up. Then he went up in this TGI Fridays, and that's where my customer was going. So I was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
So then we went to the same complex, and then I'm like, I'm going to go talk to this motherfucker.
Yeah,
like, so then I went, and I punched a heavy bag like 3 days a week. That's all I do for a workout. And I kicked the heavy bag too, and I know my shins are like pretty conditioned. I trained Muay Thai for a long time, so I was like, it'd be nothing for me to leg kick to left-hook this guy, and he would have no idea what's going on.
A regular fucking dude would
be. And everyone's going like this. I know 100%. I'm not that worried about, not that I do this ever, like I never have done this, but it's like, he almost killed me for absolutely no reason.
Yeah.
And it's like,
frankly, I think he should have punted the 2-year-old. He definitely could have done that.
But yeah, I got a niece, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I hold babies, and they're so fragile. It's just outrageous, you know?
Absolutely.
But it's also like, I didn't want him to get away with this just like with nothing. But
yeah.
I knew if I stepped out of the car, I was going to beat the shit out of him. And now it's like in front of his kid, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Plus it's at the Fridays. Mm-hmm. Then you have your Friday story. You're getting arrested at TGI Fridays.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even Florida Man. Anymore.
Yeah, it's
like from that territory.
Oh, that's a rough one, though. The Fridays. Ugh. The Fridays is the most depressing part of that story.
They were in
such a rush to get to Fridays.
That's my point. He's just going to have dinner.
No, the reason why I don't think I could ever do an Uber driver is like I've seen too many nightmare videos that I'm like, oh, that could happen easily at any time. You're just sitting there waiting. Like in your New Brunswick here, you'd be somewhere and be like, yeah, are you Bobby? And he's like, yeah. And he just pulls out a gun and tries to kill you.
Yeah.
And rob you.
I had somebody pull a gun on me one time.
Shit.
Yeah. And I lived in New Orleans and I dropped this guy off in New Orleans East at a... Well, no, I picked him up from work.
You were Ubering.
Yeah. Okay. No, I dropped him off. I picked him from his, you know, his apartment to go work at this nudie video book store, right?
Ah.
And on Chef Monsieur. I think it's called 94 Video or Video Sluts or whatever on Chef Monsieur in New Orleans East. You can Google map this bitch. His name is Eugene. If he still works there, somebody kill him.
Kill him.
But he literally,
he's already in hell.
I drop him off, then I go back to New Orleans, then I'm all the way in Gretna. He gives me a call. He's like, hey, his phone is in the car. It starts ringing. So I pick it up. I go, hello. He's like, hey, man, I left my phone. Bring it back to me. I'll give you $20. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, it's going to be a fucking hour because I'm an hour away, but I will do it. So I drive the hour. I'm going over this bridge, which is mad sketchy. Anyone who knows New Orleans, the I-10 going to New Orleans East is mad crazy. But then he's calling me on that bridge. I'm like, I'll be there in fucking 15 minutes. I'm still driving. You better look. Like, so I get out of my car, which was, I think, my big mistake. I get out of the car. I go, yo, here's your phone. And he, like, goes to grab it. I go, yo, where's that $20? He goes, it's right here. He just brandishes a gun like this. And so then I'm like, oh, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm cursing myself. I'm like, I got to get this guy. I know where he lives. I know where he works. I know where he's at right now.
And I know what he looks like.
And I know what he looks like. I know his name. Everything. Yeah. So I go to the cops. And first of all, I walk in the police station in New Orleans East. There's nobody there. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello? I'm walking all the way in the back. Hello? The doors are open. Like, I could take a computer.
Yeah.
Like, it's open. Hello? Not one person there. I drive back to the fucking white neighborhood, and I see a cop like this, right? And I go, hey, man, this is what happened. He goes, where'd it happen? I go, there. He goes, that's not of our jurisdiction. I go, there's no fucking cops in there.
Yeah.
Like, the most dangerous neighborhood doesn't have the cops, though.
Well, you got to figure. Those guys aren't paying taxes, you know, like, they're fucking... The infrastructure's all falling apart.
Yeah, dude. Like, there's no money for it.
There's no money for it. They all don't care. It's like, oh, he showed you a gun?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what he said. They go, did he hold the gun to your head? I go, no. He's like, did he rob you? I go, well, technically he just got his shit back, but he didn't give me any. And he goes, there's nothing we could do. And I'm like screaming at this guy.
I mean, like, if OJ's in jail for taking back his own shit.
I was like, so you're telling me he goes to a bagel store.
Yeah.
He goes, Poppy C Bagel. They go, $250. He goes, what about this gun?
Yeah.
What are you fucking talking about? But they just, like, they're not paid health insurance. And fucking, they're like, that sounds dangerous. I'm not going to do
that. The cops don't get paid health insurance?
I don't think they have health insurance.
What are these parishes doing?
Bro, it's like so fucking bad.
I'm just proud of myself that I knew they were parishes.
They are parishes.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. I'll be in the bathroom.
It's not counties.
Not counties. Yeah.
They're on Napoleonic law. If you're a lawyer in Louisiana, you have to learn Napoleonic law. Every other state is on maritime law in the country. They're going, no, Napoleon nailed it. That's some Louisiana Purchase shit.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back all the way then. So it's just...
Wearing wigs and shit?
Yeah. They're right.
I think it's just the
riding a horse, pointing.
The law codes. I don't know anything about this. It's just the law code. Yeah. It's like, not those laws. It's these laws.
Weird.
I don't know. All the codes
are
there. I don't
law.
Know what the fuck.
Sounds like street law.
Yeah.
Street law. Yeah, fucking streets of rage out here.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, life was like streets of rage. Yeah.
Just picking up a pipe and just hitting people.
These three guys in my yellow jackets. Peter being my black friend.
Just like Final Fight. This guy Hagar came up to me. And just,
I was like, oh shit, it's a mayor. Just
beat the shit out of my jacked mayor.
Any crazy things ever happen at George Street between the comics? Anyone ever get super heated or anything like
here?
That?
Here?
Yeah.
Here? Actually, kind of. Like,
I don't know. There's been a thousand crazy.
Well,
shit.
You almost beat up Oliver a couple times.
That's stupid.
Nah, I know.
That's just shut the fuck up, Oliver. Mm. That's mostly that. But no, nothing like crazy here too much. Like I've seen some crazy acts that I was like, huh? Because I've been coming here for a long time.
Yeah.
Like because this used to be like the only other open mic on the Stress at New Brunswick.
Uh huh.
So we go. It'd be like here on Thursday, and they would play like music.
Yeah.
And then they would have like there was one dude who would dress up as a raccoon.
What? Oh, I've seen that.
You've never seen any? He plays like a ukulele.
Let me just make sure we're rolling.
Yeah
everything's good. Okay.
Yeah. And he dressed up as like, I heard
about this shit.
I can't remember his real name.
See, there was a time where this place was too weird for me. I was like, I don't know if I'm trying to see what's up here.
Yeah, it was. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's up? We're doing a little podcast here.
Yeah.
Oh, am I interrupting? Oh,
it's
okay.
Podcast is over.
Shut it down.
How's it going? What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, there was a time because before comedy really sort of got root here, it was a bit more of like a true open mic.
Yeah.
You hear poetry.
Jackers.
Music acts and stuff like that. And people are eclectic.
Yeah.
Put it that
way. Yes.
The raccoon was the funniest, though.
Jack must know about the raccoon.
You remember the raccoon, dude, right?
What's that?
Guy
dressed
like
dressed
a raccoon?
Like a raccoon?
Oh, yeah.
He played. Did he play ukulele or did he play guitar?
I think he did a bit of both.
Yeah, I think he did.
The coon.
Yeah. He performs all over. Like,
yeah. I can't remember his real name, but yeah.
Not my place to reveal.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
Let's keep his identity.
The raccoon guy and the whistleblower. I don't want to know.
Yeah, he's a vigilante. I got saved by this raccoon. There was a bomb on the bus, but this raccoon saved me. What? Never mind. It's weird.
No, see, this place is a little bit more supportive, so you don't see the crazy stuff like you see.
Yeah.
Like 10th Street, for instance.
Oh, 10th Street was wild.
You were around for that shit?
No.
Oh, that was wild.
See, I just moved. So I was living in New Orleans. I was living in L.A. So I moved back here October 2018.
Okay, yeah. So you missed it.
Yeah.
You missed it. That was
when the comedy scene was...
Oh, it was wild.
Yeah. Man.
Like, especially in Jersey. Like, so it was this bar. It was on Monday nights. It was an open mic in Kenilworth, New Jersey, called 10th Street Live. And it was... literally just a bar. It was free. Anyone could show up. But some people were there not knowing that it was an open mic.
Right.
And it was like they were there to watch Monday Night Football or some shit. And it was the hardest open mic I've ever been to. So if you could kill there, you could kill anywhere.
Dude, I went to Finnegan's in Hoboken.
Yeah.
And dude, I was just looking around and everyone's watching football. The volume's up. Every time they're scoring a touchdown, the whole bar's going, bah!
Yeah.
I go to the bartender. Oh, so he's like, you here for the mic? He's like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, stay. I was like, uh-oh. Why'd you say it 9 times? And then... I was like, do you guys turn the volume off or turn the TVs off? He goes, we turn the volume off. I go, I think I'm out of here.
Well,
I'm good. Because now it's like if the audience is seated away from you 90 degrees, 180 degrees, and then also they're watching football, it's literally an impossible situation.
Oh, yeah. But that's why sometimes you still got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, because it's so fucking hard. And if you get their attention, you win. Yeah. Whether you make them laugh or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But if you get their attention, you fucking win.
Yeah.
That was the best lesson I learned there. It's just like, if it's quiet, that's actually better.
Yeah.
Than not.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If it's quiet there, or you're getting like any type of laugh.
They're interested.
Take your six stress bag and go in 30 minutes because
you have
an app there. Like,
yeah, you could do something. You know? Yeah, for sure. Like I remember this. That, but it's better than like an unruly crowd. Like I was at New York Comedy Club one time. I'm sure you've heard this story. Yeah. But there was this promoter who booked me. And I was like, okay. And then she said I was doing 15 minutes. I was like, okay, fine. So I was hanging out. And I was supposed to make... I was supposed to do two shows, $50 a spot for 15 minutes. And then she said, oh, what, you didn't bring anybody with you? And I was like, no, why would I bring anybody with you? You booked me. Like, why would I do that? Right. I'm here for your show. Like, it's... And then she said, it's like, well, she cut my downtime down to 6 minutes, and then she put me dead last. And then in the middle of the, and she told me that, she's like, you're going last. Mm. Like, and I was like, okay, fine, whatever. And then the comic that was on the stage at the time got into an argument with the audience member. And the audience member, for the first time in my life, was 100% right. Mm-hmm. Like, the comic sucked a dick. Mm. And he just kept going on about this this guy's girlfriend, like, you're like, oh, you like to drink cum? You like to drink cum? Like, all this stuff. Whoa. And kept on it for, like, 7 minutes. And no joke. And the guy was just eventually like, dude, could you move on? Could you do something else? Like, this is not, obviously not killing. Right. And then he lost it. He jumped off the stage. They started rumbling. And then the promoter, like, hit me. He was just like, you're big. Go break that up. And I was like, what? What are you out of your fucking mind? Not only did you say you're not going to pay me, you cut my time down and put me in the check spot.
Yeah.
They could kill each other. I don't give a fuck. Let them die. For sure. I don't give a fuck about that.
I know. Like, well, here's the way you can redeem yourself in my eyes.
Go fuck yourself.
Why don't you go fight for my order?
Yes. She sucked. And then she got up and she looked like a fucking clown. Like, literally, her makeup was caked on. Shit. Like, it was, like, bad. Oh, she
looked
like,
for my order.
It's like, go break it up. You're big. Go fuck yourself. How about that?
Like, what if you're like, you don't want me in there, I'm going to start throwing punches at the comic.
Yeah. He's the one who's wrong.
He's out of line. Yeah. He's saying, your girlfriend drinks cum. Yeah. She drinks cum. And then you fight him.
Yeah. Like, it's like the guy's just like, and it wasn't like he heckled him. He was just like, could you please move on?
Right.
Like he said, please. He said, like,
very reasonable man.
You know? Yeah. That was like what happened. It was a couple.
Just the rage of the bitterness.
Yeah,
show business.
A few. I guess it was like a month ago. You were there with me, and you know this story too. Okay. But I'm not going to say this person's name. But we were going. I was at the. We were doing this one show, and it was a packed house. Like, it was filled with people, but there were no seats or anything, so everyone's standing around. Yeah. And I was holding a beer. And I was walking by this person that we would probably all know. And then I'm walking by, and like I'm squeaking, but like it's like shoulder to shoulder. I'm like, "Excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me." And I put my drink through, and I walk through. I don't think anything of it. Then I come back later, like around the other side, and they're sitting down. And she's like, "Hey, Dan, that whole thing you did when you put your hand out and said, 'Excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse me,' wasn't cute. Not cute at all." I was like, "But I said, 'Excuse me, I'm sorry.' Like, you even just said that back to me. I just said that. Like, I was like, I can't really maneuver through you." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever this is happening here, that's not cute. Yeah. That's not." And then she like started flipping out, screaming. I'm like, "I didn't do anything. Like, I specifically said, 'Excuse me, I'm sorry. Can I get by here?'"
And then you were too much of a fucking dumb cow to like move an iota.
Exactly.
So maybe you could think about other people.
Exactly. And I couldn't believe that. But when she repeated back, it'd be one thing if you didn't hear me. And you were just like, you just pushed me out of the way and kept walking. But she was like, "You saying, 'Excuse me, I'm sorry. Forgive me for having manners.'"
I love, maybe it's because you're like big and white, but like the fuse for you is so short. Like, my fuse is so long. I could have like pushed her. She'd be like, "Oh, my bad."
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Get the fuck out the way. Yeah.
He's always doing stuff like that.
No, he's wild. But because it was me, it was like, this fucking asshole.
It's like one of the things I like play with on stage too. I'm like, people are going to give me the benefit of the doubt, so let me see how much dumb shit I can do.
My friend John Rowe, man, I had this in New Orleans. I had this bit that got me in so much trouble. My Caitlyn, I talk about Caitlyn Jenner, and like, oh, that's a 65-year-old man, but that's a brand new pussy, you know? And I don't know. I got
into the problem.
I got in some heat in New Orleans, I go with my buddy John Robo, my black friend. Yeah, but the hipsters there are trouble. I could talk about that later. But my friend John Robo would go up after me and be like, I hate white women. Why haven't anybody holocausted white women yet? They're terrible with their fucking yoga and like murders. And I'm like, that's okay. That's well, okay. He's black, you know? Yeah. And it's just like, what?
That's not true.
No, it's words.
Yeah.
They are words, and there's no hierarchy of words. He's just saying words. We're doing jokes. Let's be cool here.
On the opposite side of that, there was a guy. I don't think he does it anymore. I'm still not going to say his name because I don't like him. But no, he's fine. Whatever. But he has this. He had this joke about Cracker Barrel, and then the joke was like I walked into a Cracker Barrel and it's filled with black people, and I was like, this is false advertising. Like, if anything, they should change the name to the N-word bucket. But he said the whole thing.
And he said it.
And then I was like, every time he said it, first of all, everyone lost their goddamn minds.
Yeah,
like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, they were ready to charge the stage and hang this man. He got banned from Stress Factory for saying this joke. But when I would see the setup coming, and I would get like, here we go. Like, it was like a kid at Christmas. Yeah, I loved it because it's like, oh, this is going to be terrible. Turns out I heard that he stole the joke.
Wow.
From Tony Rock, and he does the joke kills. Because he can say it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That, but also Tony Rock is good at telling jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
like CK had like inward bits that like worked because he like structured them properly.
Yeah.
I don't advise everyone to do it because, you know.
Then just jerk off in front of girls and forcefully
block the hipsters. The hipsters in New Orleans. Didn't think I was going to say that today.
I think that what happened, you know, I'm from here. I went to high school in Jersey, and I really feel that we fought for freedom of slavery. Okay, I think that's accurate. In Louisiana, they fought to keep slaves, and so I think that the white comics even today think that being super social justice warrior is a way to show that they're not racist. And, like, in high school, it's like, you know, I would be like, oh, look at the fucking dumb Jew over here. Oh, look at the Polak, blah, blah, blah. And it's like a term of endearment. We're all like, cool. And, you know, that's just how we would talk. And there it's like, these are fighting words and blah, blah, blah.
I can tell you this, like, as, like, a black guy, I would rather...
Wait, you're black?
Yeah. Like, I'd rather be around a guy that's, like, kind of racist than, like, someone that's...
Because it's honest.
Yeah, because, like, all right, I know where I stand with this person. It's like, it's like, no, this is just a dummy, you know? Like, the person is like... like one time I was telling a story about when I was, I guess I'm telling a story now. I was a college wrestler here at Rutgers, and one of my buddies is from some fucking blue collar town around here, and we had left this like random ass like criminal justice class, and it was like this black like, football player that goes up front, and he talks, and he was a big dummy, and he said some dumb shit in class, and I'm sitting in the back of the car with my friends, and these two guys literally forget that I'm there, and he's like. The guy was like, I hate these stupid fucking N-words, you know? And I'm like, huh, I don't know how it blew your podcast. So I'm like,
wow.
I'm going to edit. So then the guy, like, kind of pokes him. He's like, hey, the black guy in the back seat.
Black.
And he's like, oh, not like you. And it's like, someone like that who's, like, probably racist and probably, like, has a couple uncles or something that just wouldn't want me around.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'd rather hang out with that guy than, like, in the same token, like, being at a college party. And, like, the girl who I told that story to, there was like, I would never stand for that type of... It's like...
Yeah.
It's kind of like a guy I work with. Like, we're both athletes. He was better at wrestling than me.
Right.
He was...
But like, also, can I ask you this, Reggie? Was he defining the word for you? Was he going, no, for me, N-word means those people right there doing this behavior.
That's possible. Like, looking back.
Yeah, no, like, you're not that. No, because you're not, you know... Right.
But me and Reggie will hang out, and me and him will say some of the most racist shit in the world to each other, and it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Yeah, but he knows, like, we're joking around. Like, he'll make fun of white people. Mm-hmm. We'll make fun of anyone.
Yeah.
And sometimes I forget, like, when I'm hanging out with people that, like... I forget. I'm like, ooh, I should have said that. Even a couple nights ago, I was drunk as fuck, and I was saying it. I was basically writing someone's joke, and they were black, and I used the N-word in the joke. Like, but, you know, in the rap vein of it. He was like, yeah, don't say that. And I was like, no, I'm saying for you.
Like, you should say that.
Yeah. I was like,
that's what
you should say. And then he was like, yeah, still. So I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. Sorry, man.
No, because, like, I found it, like, that particular story. It was like, yes, he is defining it in a way, but, like, I don't know, like, knowing that guy and, like, how much time we spent together and, like,
fun,
like, all right, in general, this guy and me have a good rapport. That's kind of fucked up, but I'm like kind of attributing to he probably is from a place where like that's just like what people do. Versus like telling someone that story that's like telling me, well, you should have done this and that. And I'm like, that feels more racist to me because it's like you're telling me how to feel about the thing that happened to me. And it's like, yeah, I didn't like it, but it wasn't like I'm never going to talk to this guy again. I was like, yeah, don't do that shit. You know what I mean? Like, we can keep it there.
Yeah. I hate more than anything when someone puts you in a box. Mm-hmm. Like, then I specifically will act that way because you're being an asshole. Right. So now I'm going to show you exactly what you're talking about.
Right.
Compared to what I was doing before. Like, I was in a... I had this... Well, this is a mild case of it. But, like, when I was in college, I was in a women's literature class. And there were two guys in the class, me and this flamingly gay dude. So we weren't exactly on the same side on most issues. And it was like, oh, these men, everybody, everything in the world was my fault.
Yeah.
It's like every single story you read, I was the woman abuser. Yeah. And so like eventually, at first I would like defend it. I'd be like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. And then eventually it was like, yeah, you should belong in the kitchen. Like, I don't know what you're doing here. Why are you here? I don't know. What are you getting a degree so you can breastfeed kids? Get out of here, ladies. I'm like saying all this shit. And then you just play into the role. And I thought it was so much funnier that way. They did not think it was funny at all.
I was in, I went to University of New Orleans. I was in this class, just like fiction writing, or no, nonfiction writing, right? And so the whole thing is just like, write 10 pages. It can be anything. Two of the assignments have to be like really well researched with footnotes and all this. Mm-hmm. The other two can be like memoirs or about a restaurant that you like or whatever. It's got to be 10 pages, nonfiction. So I wrote like my story, and I was dating this girl at the time who had a kid, right? And she had fucking borderline personality disorder, right? Mm-hmm. So I go, this is what happened. Click, 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 click. My professor goes, he calls me into his office. He's like, you have to redact this. And I was like, what? And he's like, it's chauvinistic. It's braggadocious. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're talking about your sex life, and then you're talking about teaching her kids swimming. I'm like, yeah. That's what happens. He's like, What are you doing here? Like, you know? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is my life.
This is like a thing
But then that professor and was swarmy. Then, like, the cute girl, it was me and the cute girl one time, and, like, he was only, it was like I wasn't in the room.
Yeah.
He was talking to her directly the whole time. This was before my paper that he redacted. But, like, he's like, oh yeah, so you got volleyball practice later, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not there. Doesn't say, hi, Eric, and then starts hitting on this girl, right? So I actually went home because I, like, lived around the corner, and I was 10 minutes early anyway. I have a beer. I come back, and he's like, oh, I didn't think you were going to show up. I go, I left my stuff here. I said I would come back. But it's like, it's just like this thing of, like, you were saying, like, someone who goes, oh, I would not have taken, that guy said the N-word or this or that.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, you have to redact this, and then, but I'm a piece of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's just doing it to cover for himself.
Yeah.
A clear example, and my wife probably doesn't let me do this one, but she works at the American Civil Liberties Union now.
Okay.
It's like kind of like a dream job, super liberal type stuff.
She like a lawyer for them? Or
no, she's like more like administrative stuff. Like, you know. She was working like the same place I was, which was more like corporate financy shit, and now she's there, and it's probably one of the most liberal places you could work, for sure. But like, even that's not good enough because she's always pointing out like this like cisgender this person or this person does this, and I just feel like there's not enough representation, and I'm sitting back and I'm like, it's funny because there's all these rules that they like made up. I mean, did I say made up? And then like. When, like, reality doesn't fit into that box, they don't know what to do. So, like, even her, who's, like, she's trying to play by the rules, but, like, I do this thing because I just like to fuck with people. Like, I point out, like, yeah, but we're kind of, like, doing that right now. And she's like, well, at least I'm not, like, a cis white male.
Yeah.
You know? It's just funny to see that people can't even live up to these crazy ideologies.
Right.
That's why they, like, the smarmy professor... They're gonna be hypocrites because that guy just wants to bang college shit. So he's like, he's got his dissertation that he wrote, and he sits in the class, and he picked like something, like it wasn't feminism, but like he picked a thing, and now he's gonna be the authority on the thing. And you're telling your real story, but I don't wanna hear that. This is not the type of medium.
Yeah, when he said it was braggadocious, I was just like,
That's because he got a small dick.
No, I was like, fuck it. No, no, this is my girlfriend. We have sex. Oh, but the reason why I talked about it was like the kid's father was upstairs the first time we were messing around.
Yeah.
Like, because she worked at a bed and breakfast. So she gave him a room upstairs and he had visitation with the kid or whatever. But then I'm downstairs banging. And then she goes, oh, there's a side light there with a sensor. So if the light goes on, then that means that maybe somebody's there. But if the light's off, you know you're good. And I was like, okay. So blah, 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 blah. And then the light goes on. I'm like, the light's on. The light's on. She goes, oh, it's probably a squirrel. I'm like, or I'm going to get murdered right now.
Yeah.
So I told that story. And he's like, oh, you're bragging. It's like, it wasn't really it's the most heroic sexual experience. Yeah. But, you know, and then it's just like, I don't know. It was so, to me, that was like, I had pictures of me with, I think what it was maybe the picture, but I had me and the kid, like after boxing practice, and then me and my girlfriend at the time with the, and it's like, oh, you can't have a picture of a kid, but it was like, this is just for the workshop in college.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like being published in a newspaper.
Yeah,
right.
So I guess she was saying that I didn't get clearance for the picture, but then it was a workshop, but it's like, to me, it's like with stand-up. There's like not a lot of rules, but there's a couple rules. Number one, don't steal, don't plagiarize.
Right.
Same as this. Write original stuff, be on time. Check. You know, turn it in. Then that's what you do. And it's just like when it's like no, you have to redact it. To me, it's like, so we can't have the conversation. This is grad school. We can't have the conversation though.
Yeah, exactly. I hated that. I used to do that. Like when I first started out, thank God I don't do this. And I learned to stop doing two things specifically. One, cursing like overly.
Right.
Like I would have to like really pull back because then when you say fuck when you really want to, it doesn't mean as much.
Right. Right.
Like because you already watered it down with
right,
me.
Right.
But meanwhile, I look back on it and it's like, oh, you're clearly just nervous.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
it's all coming out like this fucking like, and it was all like coming out of nerves. And now it's like really taking your time and knowing what you're going to say. And,
yeah.
Actually choosing each word of what this is going to mean. And the other one is I would placate to the crowd almost. Like I'm talking about like, you know, white men and stuff like that. And like I had to really take a step back. I was like, you don't believe that at all. Like you don't think that at all. I was like, so stop doing that. Like maybe you're going to say something that's unpopular, but who gives a shit? Like at least you're being honest with yourself.
Like if you're like, sir, your wife's beautiful.
Yeah,
you should be
exactly.
Like, instead, don't placate. Just be like, she's a cum guzzling whore.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, she drinks cum.
Or doing like the Don Rickles. Like, it's your wife? Jesus.
Why I kind of like stand up versus that sort of academic world, like, because I'm familiar with it, but
yeah,
these people can't even, like, they're not real people anymore. Like, that professor can't actually survive in the real world. Like,
right.
If you ask him to do a 9-to-5,
he
would implode.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like they live in their fucking ivory tower and, like, tell guys like you to stop living, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was the only all my other professors. I want to say I said something about, but like there was a guy called John Geary who was a doctor of poetry from Princeton University, taught at UNO, and boy, that guy opened my mind as far as like economy of words, like a being obsessed with your craft. Like that guy was like super helpful, and he was hilarious too. Like he would introduce like there was this thing where. He was like the thesis advisor to one of the graduating students, and he introduced him like, "This young sire has been like just like his poetic intro of it was." I was rolling on the ground. He made it so dramatic.
Yeah,
he's from the bayous of Slidell. You know this and that.
I remember I had this teacher in high school. His name was Mr. Martin, but Craig Martin. He's got to be close to death. But he was so, like the driest sense of humor.
Yeah.
Like he would call on you. And I just remember like the one time, like he was the hardest teacher I've ever had in my life. And we were studying poetry. And one of them was, the line was something along the lines of seeing like, the sunrise in a girl's eyes or something like that. Blah, blah, blah. And he would do like things like Mr. Farley, which is Yalnarf backwards. And then I would be like, all right. And then he was like, what do you think about this poem? And I was like, I don't really think much of it, to be honest with you. He's like, why not? You've never seen the sunrise in a girl's eyes? He's like, no, because girls don't have eyes in their tits. And from then on, he was like, okay. Now that we've heard from that part of the class. Right. Like, so then he never called on me again. He was like, that's fine.
Yeah, you have to turn in this written critics, and I won't talk to you anymore.
Well, he just thought it was hilarious, but it was like one of those you could tell he thought it was funny. But it was like, I can't laugh at this.
How is being married? How long have you been married now?
Not long. Been married since September. So what?
Oh wow.
What, 3 months now, maybe?
Wow. At this point? Mm-hmm. Has it changed your ability to go out of the house to do stand-up?
That started, like, in the ramping up into marriage, that started before that.
Oh, yeah?
So, I've been working on that side of it, like, finding a way to, like, do that work-life balance.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Because women want your time. They don't even necessarily, like, well... They do want you to be there, like, emotionally attached, but, like, they want your time, because if your time's spent somewhere else, they start to wonder, are they enough?
You know? Yeah, right, right.
So, but it's like...
obviously the answer's no.
Yeah, it sounds like they're not full people. They feel full, realized people who are comfortable in their own skin, women. But no, anyway, go on.
But it's like... No, but, like, I find that, like, as she's kind of getting her own footing and figuring out what she wants to do in life...
Right, right.
That's scaling back a little bit, and I think that... She kind of went through a rough period where she was trying to figure out what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
And my time became part of that equation. And it's just like, no, like, you like to do this. I like to do this. And I do stand-up.
Do you ever, like, stand with her at the calendar? I will be gone doing stand-up on this day, on this day, on this day, on this day.
She was like, oh, I feel like you're always doing stand-up. And I, like, picked up a calendar and was like, well... This is how many times I've booked. Yeah. It's not a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So, but like part of that too, though, is my own shit. Because like I got my own shortcomings as a person, as a husband. And I was spending a lot of time on shit that didn't, not that it didn't matter, but like on shit that like without paying attention to that side of
the
equation too. Yeah. So it's like I have to find that balance.
Dude, and when I was with this girl that I wrote the story about, dude, like, I'm in grad school, I'm doing stand-up five nights a week, she's got a kid, so then it's like, sometimes I would just hang out with the kid and, like, teach him boxing. So, like, then she was like, then I would be fucking Uber and Lyft driving, and she's, like, calling my phone, like, over and over. And then I would, like, have, and my passengers are like, well, who's calling you 15 times in a row? I'm like, hey, I'm dating a weird girl from Texas. It's a lot of fun. And then I would drop them off, and I'd go, babe, what? She's like, how was your day? I was like, remember how I said I'll see you Tuesday at 2? Like, for that to happen, you have to actually leave me alone during this time. Yeah. Who are you with? I'm working.
Right.
Yeah. I'm literally working to pay rent. And, like, for her, it would be like I would be at her house, and an alarm would go off in my pocket. She'd be like, oh, is someone calling you? I go, no, that's an alarm. She's like, what's that about? I got to go to class now. And she'd be like, skip it. I'm like, skip grad school?
Yeah, it's like, what the hell am I going to grad school for?
I think that
why am I here in New Orleans?
That's kind of part of it. Like, figuring out why this shit matters. Like, they just have, I mean, I don't want to generalize, but I am. They just have different priorities than us in general. So it's like, no, you don't understand that, like, going to the shitty pizza shop and doing a 5-minute set.
Yeah.
Is how me and Dan did a theater show.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all the bad shit.
Yeah,
like, maybe this is going to pay for itself 2 years from now.
Right.
Like, this is, I'm going to learn something in this pizza shop.
Right.
But I'm not going to learn anywhere else.
Yeah, and every time I go out, it's like, oh, that one joke, I got that one joke, or I fixed that one joke, or I realize I got to drop this joke.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you work a shitty pizza club, your less good material is going to really stink like shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, I can't do any of this shit anymore.
Yeah. So putting some bricks on it to, like, defend yourself. You're like, all right, this premise is okay, but, like, I don't have enough structure for this to be actually good. So then you start to figure shit out. And, like, that's why you need the reps and why you need to do different shit. But, like, now, even part of the reason I'm doing this mic now, this is part of that strategy where it's like, all right, look, I can't go out, if you're saying 5, it's like, I can only go out 3 or 4 nights a week. So let me make this one night more impactful for me.
Yeah.
So I started a mic, because I'm like, all right, I'm going to run it, I'm going to produce it, I'm going to meet a bunch of people, so that's networking.
Right, right.
I'm going to get booked on shit, because these kids are going to come through here and do their time. I'm going to get way more time than anybody else that walks into the house, because I have the mic and I have control. And it's like, if I'm going to spend a night doing stand-up, I'm going to make it count. And that's sort of where I am with that side. The other part with the relationship is like constantly trying to like find that balance and remind her, is like, see how we live in a house, you know, like yeah, like yeah, all this stuff. If you want certain things, you have to put, excuse me, you got to invest in it, and reminding her that like the investment is now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also being real with myself and saying, all right, am I actually investing time, or am I kind of fucking off my friends so I can go get hammered? Like, I get,
yeah, yeah.
50-50.
Yeah, I got to be honest with myself, too, because like, a lot of times, like, I'm saying that, and it sounds good to guys like us, but then it's like, well, am I just doing this just to get out of my house? Am I, you know?
That's why I was getting really frustrated with No Joke November. I called Franco Danger the other day. I'm like, I think you ruined the comedy scene here, because Franco Danger's a genius. He's, and hilarious and fucking great and one of my good friends. But when he does No Joke November, like, he's like, oh, you know what? Instead of doing all my jokes, let me talk about my uncle and his backyard barbecue. And he can do it because he's fucking Franco Danger. He's hilarious.
He's pushing it.
But then, yeah, but then he doesn't go on stage not with an idea. Like, he's like, let me talk about my uncle, right? A lot of people are going, what else? So I didn't write anything down. Yeah.
No, and it's like,
stop. Get off stage. Yeah. Like, for me, if there's a minute where I'm like, oh, you know what? I got the light, and the only other thing I could do is 2 minutes, I'm getting off now. Yeah. Because I'm not going to start this because it's 2 minutes. So, like, I'm always like, if I'm not working on stage, I'm getting off immediately. Yeah. And for people to want so much attention where they'll still be floundering on stage, like, offering nothing to the audience, to me is narcissism.
I would do that. Like, the No Joke November, which is why I don't believe in that. Because it's like, and I never kind of understood this. Like, sometimes I would watch Pat Goldsmith on stage. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the best, crowd worker I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's so funny and so good. But, like, me and him would go to 10th Street all the time, and he would murder. Like, it would destroy this room without fail. But then he'd get in the car, and he'd be furious. Because it's like, I didn't do one joke. I was just fucking around. Like, it's like, that doesn't really benefit me. It's like, it benefits you up to a point that you could almost defend yourself on stage. Mm-hmm. But you're not really doing anything. Right. You know, like, you're just passing time.
Yeah. To me, it's like, there's an experiment, if you're experimenting on stage, write the results out.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like, if you said funny things, those are jokes, or that's could be point. Material, that's write it down.
Yeah, write
if
it down.
If you go up there and off the dome, and then don't write anything down, don't record it. Don't,
but if you're making fun of this one guy, it's like, that guy's not going to be at every show. And that's true. You know, like,
but maybe the specificity of word choice could be used about another guy in a different scenario in material. But like, sometimes
he's talking about an extreme example.
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly. Yeah. Talking about, there's a guy who would intentionally be like, he would tell the host of this mic, put me up after this guy. And I mean, week after week.
Right.
And it was just like, I don't know if he had a weird obsession with the guy or something like that, but he's like, I'm going to go up after this guy, and his entire set would be, let me shit on this dude. And it's like,
who can't answer back now?
Because now he went first.
Right.
But it's like, is that, like, what happens when you go somewhere else and that guy's not there?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do as a stand-up?
Are
you
gonna be like, that's not anything. Yeah, that's
so a picture of that guy and be like, this kid sucks. And like, is that going to mean anything to anyone except for the people right here, right now?
Yeah. That actually happened to me. His name, Puneet Lakhmani. Every time I did comic strip, he would go after me and then talk shit on my set. Yeah. And he didn't even realize he was doing it, because all of the hipster comics that were his friend would talk shit about me constantly behind my back, and nobody brought it up.
Yeah.
And then he brought it up, so he would go, wait, you listen to that guy? Like, none of that makes sense. Don't do any of that. And then one time, he went first, and I fucking told some shit that he did not want said publicly. I knew intimate details of him and his girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And that he said, because I knew one time he said this stuff on stage, and then he goes, and someone videoed it. He goes, delete that. Yeah, I go, he doesn't like this. He said this. He wants this to be secret.
I'm gonna remember
time.
This.
Yeah. Then he goes, after, what the hell did you do? I go, the last 15 of these shows, you talk shit this, on me, so this is what happened.
Exactly.
So, fucking bully.
Yeah, exactly.
Dipshit.
Like,
what's up, guys?
Like to your point, I don't really do like the No Joke November thing.
I don't,
but I will do, because like I really do like to prep to a certain extent before I go up. And like what I will do is like I'll take the safety net out, which is I won't know what I want to start with.
Yeah,
and then I'll just go up, and then I have to like start from there. And like the last Roxy and Duke show we did,
That's kind of how it started. And it was whatever, because, like, the show was whatever. But I like to sometimes just have to find my way into the set. Mm. And, like, for me, that's a workout.
Yeah, I do think that sometimes you have to, like, show the audience, like, I'm watching you. So, like, I'm in the room, too. And yeah. I saw that happen. So just so you know, if you, like, almost, I think that's, like, a warning to, like, not heckle. Don't, when I'm doing material, don't, because I'm watching you, motherfuckers. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
That's exactly what you said to me right before you went on stage, actually, at Roxy Jones. Yeah. I was like, whoo, work's cut out for me tonight. Yeah. All right.
Well, I watched it back. It was like midway through, we had a show Thursday. Like, not even midway. Like, I was on stage, and, like, you know how as a comic, like, I'm sitting up there, and I'm like, I've been up here a while. I'm like, I didn't see the light or anything. I'm just like, and in my head, like, as you're still doing stand-up, because that's how this shit works, I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? Am I going to, like, try to do another bit here? Am I going to, like, how do I want to transition? So I threw, like, a bit out there that I know just kind of worked. And because the room was so kind of strange, didn't really get, like, a reaction, which is fine. But, like, this dude in the back played, like, I guess he had something queued up, and he played, like, a cricket sound.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what the fuck? Because, like, I didn't know what to, like, one, you're not expecting that. But then two, I'm sitting here, I'm like, first of all, I know I'm at least 7 minutes into a set, which means I've been up here for 7 minutes. If it was that bad, I wouldn't still be up here comfortably.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And then, like, I made a little riff off of it because, like, the host was struggling too. And I was like, you said that guy's entire set, but you hit me with crickets? And, like, the whole, which got, like, a laugh and everything, but it's just, like, you start psychoanalyzing everything in those situations.
And you can't like, prep for it. Like, there's no way to rehearse what's going to happen or any scenario, you know? And, like, you ever, like, in the drive home, you're like, oh, fucking, like, that
happened.
Oh,
he was serious.
I was serious.
He was serious.
I was serious. I was very mad.
He was like, yo, I should go fuck that guy up right now. I should go fuck him up.
It was like, I shouldn't have. But, like, and then I watched it back, like, the next day, because, like, it was going to be in my head. And I watched the set, and it was like, There were times where, like, if he had done that, I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Right.
But I was like, when he hit me with that, I was like, nah. That
the timing
dope.
Was off. Yeah, I was doing all right,
like,
there.
No, I wasn't doing all right. It was a fucking rough set.
Rough set?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should we take a break and get this list going or something like that? Or
if
early?
You want to. I don't know if you want
sure.
to staring you got at anything us. Else you want to
I just
want
to know if you guys want to plug any shows or...
We're doing Roxy and Dukes Thursday, December 5th. The alcohol holiday.
Well, if you want, and you can keep your podcast going for this, we could, because we got about an hour, do an episode of the Colonel Mastodon Power Hour, which is a drinking podcast, and if you want to keep any of that footage for yourself.
All right, let's
crossover. All right.
Crossover.
It's going to be all
I'm
going to
go smoke first.
We're getting deep.
All right. Later, motherfuckers. Later.